Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Monica Brady-Meyerov, in for Robin Young. It's Here and Now. This month marked the end to U.S. operations in Iraq. Earlier this month, Vice President Joe Biden addressed American troops in Baghdad before they left the country. He heralded the end of the war that cost 4,500 American lives, more than 100,000 Iraqis, and $700 billion.
Because of you and the work of those of you in uniform have done, we are now able to end this war.
But some Iraqis say the war isn't over for them. And days after the last U.S. troops left the country, renewed violence broke out.
At the height of the morning rush hour, 14 blasts across Baghdad.
My baby was sleeping in her bed. Shards of glass have fallen on her. All countries are stable. Why don't we have security and stability?
Today, we're going to get the view of the war from Iraqis living in the U.S. First, 38-year-old Haider, who prefers we only use his first name. He worked as a translator with the 82nd Airborne in Iraq and lost one of his legs while trying to save the life of an American soldier.
One night, we were patrolling in South Baghdad in a Dora neighborhood. We got attacked and ambushed by some insurgents. And then I saw one of the soldiers got shot in front of me, so I tried to go and pull him out. Tried to save him, and then I got shot trying to save that American soldier because he was my friend, to be honest with you. And all my team were like a family to me. I used to see them more than I see my family, so they become my second family inside of Baghdad.
Haider now lives in Virginia. And Haider, tell us, what are your friends and family in Iraq saying about the U.S. withdrawal?
The Iraqis, back in 2003, they had this dream, you know, that the Americans, when they're going to come, they're going to rebuild Iraq. They're going to establish that democracy that today all the Arabs dream of. We had this idea, yeah, America's going to come inside of Iraq. America's going to bring their companies. America is going to support the Iraqis for good jobs. They're going to bring all these big companies, you know. Unfortunately, what happened is, instead of that democracy inside of Iraq, we established a religion country. Today, what I hear is people are getting killed because some of them are Sunni, some of them are Shi'i. People, they can't find good jobs, decent jobs today. It's not safe, it's not secure. What America did, they took one dictator, while today we've got another 500 dictators. So things got worse, in my opinion.
Vice President Joe Biden, though, recently said this has been a victory for the U.S., that he said the tide of war has receded, the soul of Baghdad remains, and that it's a lot safer there today than it has been. Do you agree with any of that?
How can it be safe if the Americans used to protect the prime minister of Iraq? You just tell me, who's going to protect the Iraqi people? I don't think it's safe, to be honest with you. How is it safe? Well, most of the Iraqis got weapons in their houses. How can it be safe while we've got kidnapping? Unfortunately, you know, today what I hear back in Baghdad, most of the teachers and the employees that used to work in the government, most of them are getting kidnapped. For example, I know a professor inside of Iraq, he got kidnapped. You know why they kidnapped him? So they can gain money from his family. It's kind of a business today. You kidnap people and then you call their family so they can pay the ransom. They make money easy.
Then what are, I mean, you've expressed some of your concerns about your country now that the Americans have left. What are your biggest concerns? Is it a descent into civil war?
I believe in the future, I think there's going to be a civil war, especially now, you know, after the Americans are going to leave. What's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. The Sunnis today are going to join forces between them, and the Shia is going to join forces between them. Both of them are going to fight over to gain power inside of Iraq. For example, we've got in Baghdad, we've got the Muqtada al-Sadr militia inside of Baghdad. It's not between, you know, the people, it's between the politic parties inside of Iraq, and then that's going to move to the people later on.
Many Iraqis were excited, though, about American troops leaving the country. You don't agree?
To be honest with you, no, I don't agree with that. I think America, inside of Iraq, should have stayed to gain control of Iraq, you know, kind of be that middle power inside of Iraq to stabilize it between all the parties inside of Iraq.
My daughter, when I was explaining to her that the troops are all coming home from Iraq and the war is over, she said, "Did we win?" And I'm wondering, what do you think? Did the U.S. win the war, and was the war worth having?
Well, the war should have happened back in 2003. You know, the main mission of Iraq war was to get rid of Saddam Hussein. They've got rid of Saddam Hussein. But the part that most of Iraqis don't understand, we've got rid of Saddam Hussein, but we've bring religious people in power today. So I think nobody won. I think all of us, we lost inside of Iraq, to be honest with you. For me as an Iraqi, I lost my country. I lost so many of my relatives getting killed. I lost a lot of my friends that worked with me got killed. I don't see any victory in it, to be honest with you.
Haider is an Iraqi now living in Virginia. He has a green card and plans to apply for his American citizenship in April. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, since the U.S. first invaded Iraq in 2003, about 70,000 Iraqis have worked for the American military, government, or private companies, and that put them at added risk. Congress passed a special visa in 2008, opening the door to allow 25,000 Iraqis into the U.S. But so far, fewer than 6,000 have been admitted. 37-year-old Ala Majid fled Iraq in 2005. She worked for Western media organizations, including McClatchy News. And she is now in Brooklyn, New York, working to help other Iraqi refugees enter the U.S. Ala, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Ala, how difficult was it to get your family out of Iraq? And who's still there?
It was very, very hard. I mean, first I started with my two children. They were 6 and 8 at the time, and that took about 4 years. So between when I left 2005 and then I was able to bring them to the U.S. in 2009, and that was the most difficult time in my life. But also they were facing a lot of really hard times, a lot of bloodshed that they saw, so many friends they lost, classmates just disappeared, family members were kidnapped, tortured, and sent back home. You know, that really left me with nightmares every single night. Them being killed, being kidnapped, being tortured, being abused. So that, yeah, that was like, you know, it was very, very hard to spend those 4 years and then having to go through the process of having to bring them here and, you know, the immigration and all the steps that was required.
You work for the Iraqi Refugee Assistance Program, or IRAP, helping families apply for visas here. What's that been like for you? Because you also experienced this, so many problems trying to bring your family over.
To me, it's been really, really difficult. I could hardly, because I do most of these interviews from my office in Brooklyn, and so it's through phone call, and I could hardly keep myself from breaking down and start crying. And, you know, you just listen to these cases, and these are people who sound like my mother, who sound like my father, and, you know, they have strong cases. But, you know, most of those cases we are working on right now are either denied, being delayed for so long, and people are just depressed, stressed out, scared. And so, while I do this work, I also, you know, advocate and also get in touch with as many families as I know, either in the Middle East or Iraq, to try and help them, especially in this crisis time where the U.S. was leaving the country.
As you say, U.S. troops have pulled out of Iraq. I'm wondering, are you pleased with that? Are you happy the troops are gone? And do you think the country is safer?
Well, I'm, first of all, angry at such comments. I'm very, very angry. Just say, okay, we are leaving, like, because we can't do more, we are leaving. It's not safer. I mean, I speak with my family on a daily basis, and they still see dead bodies thrown on the streets. They still, you know, see militias. We still don't have electricity. We still don't have water. People still don't have jobs.
Let's talk about your life here, though, now, because for Iraqis like yourself who've been able to make it to the United States, I want to hear more about what your life is here like. What's your future like here in terms of employment and adjusting to life in the U.S.?
I have been in the country for 6 years. I held many positions. They were all part-time jobs, not enough pay. And the struggle continues. I don't feel stable. I don't feel that I have a home. I'm a U.S. citizen now, but I don't feel it. You talk about, like, my future. I don't think my future will be here. Like, to me, this is still a transit spot for me. I'm thinking as soon as the situation is less dangerous in Iraq, I'll hopefully be going back.
What about for your children? We understand your 13-year-old son has had maybe the hardest time adjusting. What are some of the problems your kids are facing?
Well, he's still having all these problems. They still walk around Brooklyn, and when one of them sees a pen or nice pencil on the floor, one warns the other, don't pick it up. It might be a bomb.
In Brooklyn?
In Brooklyn. Backflashes. The older one, who is 13 now, one time I was on the train with him, and he saw a soldier with a uniform, and he said, Mama, can I go and talk to him and just say, if you are going to Iraq, just take it easy. Don't shoot at our people. Don't shoot them. And he's 13. He's not that young, but I think, you know, he's traumatized. And I have been taking them both to counseling since week one when they got here.
Ala, you said earlier that you'd like to go back to Iraq, that life is hard for you here in the U.S. I want to know, what are your hopes and concerns for Iraq, and what do you think needs to happen in the country for you to feel safe enough to go to take your family back home?
Now that the U.S. troops have left, I would definitely want an uncorrupt government. It's definitely corrupt, and if we don't have a good government that cares about the people, then goodbye, Iraq. I don't know how would that happen. And, you know, the prime minister is so sectarian, it's not funny. And, you know, so you have all these factions who are fighting over power and over money, yet, you know, they claim that they do show people that they are together, working together, but each of them is definitely working on their own interests and building their own militias, their own security forces. I hope that the people will realize what is the right path to take.
So a lot needs to change.
But starting with the government, for sure. Starting with providing people with electricity, portable water, just jobs. Like, you know, the country is destroyed. We have the money and we have the people and we have the experience, and I don't know why, you know, such projects are not being built to, first of all, provide services and also jobs for the people who are unemployed and depressed, stressed out, and might take different path, might get involved in militia actions. So, you know, I feel that is the first step, is to now focus on our government. You know, we can't forever blame the U.S. presence in Iraq now that they are leaving. You know, we have to deal with it as it is now.
Ala Majid is an Iraqi refugee living in Brooklyn. She also works to bring other Iraqis in danger to the United States through the Iraqi Refugee Assistance Project. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me again.
You can see more of our coverage from the end of the Iraq War, including interviews with families who lost loved ones, at our website, hereandnow.org. Coming up next, election season. The candidates seem to be everywhere. So what are they doing to reach out to Latino voters? Back in a minute, here and now.